All right, morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Nun Beis. We are on the very bottom of Nun Aleph Amud Beis, and we continue. Before we continue from yesterday's daf, first, thank you to the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf will be learned with Zecher Nishmas Los Lupin Zaltzman. Before continuing and moving on, so yesterday Hedy raised an issue, so let's discuss it. It's a major issue amongst the Rishonim. The Gemara described yesterday the Shul in Alexandria. The Shul in Alexandria was... the Gemara says the nicest shul, the largest shul. Just in other words, is if you haven't seen it, you really haven't seen a shul. So the Bima was in the center, and the Gemara gives a number of 1.2 million attendees at the shul. It's very hard to imagine a number like that. It's right. We were together almost 2 years ago now. We were together at Giant Stadium. That's 90,000 people. And okay, and so 1.2 million is... whatever, it's a lot, obviously. So it's just hard to imagine. But the that aside, though, the so how did the shliach, how did it work? How did it work in shul? So you can't hear the shliach sibra, they didn't have a microphone. So the so how did it work in shul? So the Gemara gives a description yesterday. Well, they would have they had someone standing next to the shliach sibra. Shliach sibra got to the end of a bracha. It was time for the for everyone to say amen. So the shliach sibra took a flag, waved the flag, and that showed everybody, that shared with everybody, that now is a good time to say amen. So, and everyone said amen, and then we moved on. So Hedy asked yesterday, and Tosus is bothered by the same exact issue. So I don't understand. You're saying amen to a bracha that you didn't hear. So, and we learned together in brachos not that long ago, although it's almost 2 years ago now. We learned together in the Gemara in brachos in the seventh parak that we have various amens that are unacceptable. In other words, amen, there are rules of amen. So one of the rules of amen is that the amen cannot be what's called yosoma. You can't say an orphaned amen. What's an orphaned amen? It means an amen without a bracha. And if you have an amen but it doesn't have a bracha, so that's called, the Gemara refers to that as an amen yosoma. And that's no good. That doesn't work. So how come in the Shul of Alexandria, basically we have nearly the entire Shul, however many people are not actually hearing the bracha, saying amen to a bracha that they didn't hear, and how does that not offend the rule of amen yisoma? Okay, that's the question. So let's take a look at Tosas. Now Tosas happens to be an Ardaf. Tosas on Nun Beis Amud Aleph. Okay, sometimes it happens in the publishing of the Gemara, where Tosas is not in alignment with the Daf. Okay. The Gemara was published a long time ago, so I'm sure publication had its challenges, you know, in the Dr. Abramson knows much more about this than I do in terms of when exactly it was published. But anyway, so the okay, but Tosus is bothered by this question, and he asks Kasha Leila Rabbi Nissim. If you take a look, we're starting today with a Tosos. I know it's a funny place to start the Gemara, but this is from yesterday. So Kasha Leila Rabbi Nissim. Hadam Abreish Gamar de Shosha Shachli quotes the Gemara in Brachos, the seventh parak, Ain Onin Amen Yisoma, that you cannot say an Amen Yisoma, an orphaned Amen. The Ha Hacha Lo Shamu Abracha Laba Nafas Asudrin. And over here in the Shul of Alexandria, no one heard the Brachos. And then but they waved the flags, and that's how everyone answered Amen. Yodin Shehigia Onas Amen, Vehain Onim Amen Yisoma. And meanwhile, all the people are saying an Amen Yisoma. An orphan domain. So how does that work? So Tosus over here is going to go over two approaches. He's going to quote people who I've never heard of before, but that doesn't mean anything. It just means I haven't heard of them. He quotes Rabbanan de Bnei Marava, the rabbis of the West. Okay, so could be usually it's a reference to the Talmud Yerushalmi, but he usually then says it's Talmud Yerushalmi. Okay, so anyway. So, but approach number one, Tosfos is basically, I have two approaches to this answer. Approach number one of Tosfos. You can't say an orphaned amen if you want to be yotzi with the bracha. Meaning, certain brachas are said, you're there, you hear the bracha, you say amen, okay, good. Somebody's eating an apple, he makes a bracha, you heard him make the bracha, you say amen, good. But then, there are other brachas where you also want to fulfill your obligation. Kiddush, for example, Shmoneh Esrei, for example, even Chazaras Hashatz, where the Amen is there, not just for him, but for you. And you, in other words, and you want to fulfill your obligation of that bracha. There, you have to hear the bracha. So Tosfos says, if it's just a bracha, which you don't have any skin in that bracha, so then you don't have to hear the bracha. You could just simply say Amen, even though it's an unattached Amen, even though you didn't hear the bracha. If you have skin in the game and you want to fulfill your obligation with that bracha, so then you have to hear the bracha and then you have to say amen. So kachen amen v'lo yane amen yisama. V'hada onen amen banaf asurjin. So now Tosfos says, based on this approach, this is approach number one, so based on this approach, when did they wave the flags? So Tosfos says, Hainu b'kriyat sefer Torah. So you have to say now that in the Shul in Alexandria, they wave the flags at what point exactly during davening? Kriyas HaTorah. Because Kriyas HaTorah, meaning they're going to read the Torah. Oddly enough, by the way, most of the people are not going to hear it. But they read the Torah. Person got it, called up for an aliyah. He made a bracha. And then for the amen, so they wave the flags. But they wouldn't do that, for Chazaras HaShatz. What's the difference? Kriyas HaTorah, you don't have an obligation. Meaning, Kriyas HaTorah is a mitzvah that's done in shul. It's what we typically call chovas hatzibur. It's a communal responsibility, but you don't have a personal obligation to hear the bracha of Kriyas HaTorah and to answer amen. So there, you'll just simply say an amen, even if you don't hear the bracha. V'lo b'tfila, v'lo b'davar sheshliach motzei rabbi midei chavasam. But if it comes to tfila, Shemona Esrei, for example, so then they wouldn't use the procedure of waving the flags. Because waving the flags can't be done for something that you need to be yotzei. And for tefillah, and I assume he's talking about Chazaras HaShatz, so you need to hear the bracha, you need to answer amen, that's part of your obligation of Shemona Esrei. So there, the waving of the flags is not done. Okay, so this is Tosfos' first approach. V'chein mefurish b'gemar depirkin b'Yerushalmi. And then Tosfos says, and if you want more support for this approach, you can now turn to the Yerushalmi. Certainly sounds now that who we mentioned previously was not the Yerushalmi, was Rabbanan de Ma'arava, rabbis of the West. Could be he's talking about the Spanish Jews of his day. Either way, the Bima Shal Eitz Bemtza, V'chazan Knesset Salah, Amar Echad Mehem Lekros, Hayam Emun Amin, Nef Besuj, Mehem Amin, Amin. Akol Brachu, Brachu, Brachas Yerushalmi, Besof Eilu Dvarim, Kamar, Ezu Amin Yisama, Huna Amarav, Hein Hein Dechayev Lomar Bracha, V'lo Yada Mahu Onev, Rav Kohen, I'm sorry, Mahu Onev. Okay, so he quotes the Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi also sounds like that as well, that the that you cannot say an amen without hearing the bracha if it's a bracha that you need to fulfill your obligation. Okay, Ad Kan, that's approach number one in Tosfos.
Why are they accepting as a premise that what they did in Alexandria was the right thing to do?
Correct. The Gemara, in the context of the Gemara, I hear your question. In the context of the Gemara is extolling the shul. So the Gemara doesn't give any criticism to it.
But it says that they were all killed because they were
doing it. Yeah, fair. Okay, that's a fair point. But the Gemara doesn't critique, and you know, the Gemara had an opportunity to criticize the act. The Gemara is telling this is what they did. It's as if it was a good thing. Okay, but you're right. Could be that the premise is not valid. Approach number two of Tosfos. Rav Cohen said a gon amar chayv sibur lishtok v'lishmo kol bracha u'bracha mipiach. Chazan v'achar kach yana amen lachar shetich la'abracha mipiach mavarach. Okay, I'm sorry. That's still a continuation of approach number one. Okay, in other words, when it comes to Chazaras HaShatz, this is an area we all need to improve on, obviously, but when it comes to Chazaras HaShatz, you got to be quiet, you got to listen to the shlich sibur make a bracha, you got to answer amen after the bracha. Okay. But in other words, it's a bracha that you need to fulfill your obligation. The Od Yesh Lomar, another possible suggestion, says Tosfos. Again, the question, how can you say amen to a bracha you didn't hear? The Od Yesh Lomar, Yodim Hayu Lechavin Seder HaBrachos, Shizu Acharzu B'minyan Shemonu Kesedran. You know what bracha is being said. Meaning, everybody, right? We all know Shemon Esrei, right? We all know what comes next. So in other words, you start with bracha number one, and so basically you're cataloging in your head, okay, he's up to the bracha of Slicha. Okay, he's up to now, it's the eighth bracha, he's up to the bracha of Refuah. Okay, and the ninth bracha. Okay, in other words, so basically, you may not be hearing it, but just based on the number of amens. It's the eighth amen, that's bracha on Rifayinu. Okay, got it. And so, knowledge of what bracha is being said is good enough, even if you don't actually audibly hear the bracha. Another possible resolution, and the Amen Yesoma. What's an amen yesoma? That's when you don't hear the bracha and you don't know what the bracha is being said. Mm-hmm. Okay. So another possible suggestion of Tosfos in terms of how it is that the shul in Alexandria is not offending the rule of amen yesoma. Okay. Let's go on.
What is
Before, I mean, the best thing to do, obviously, is to hear the bracha. Obviously, if you don't hear the bracha, so then you shouldn't say amen. And then maybe again, based on these two approaches in Tosos, maybe you can make a distinction between Kriyas HaTorah and Shemoneh Esrei. Maybe I don't ask me the conclusion. You speak to your rav, and then maybe also there's a distinction between not hearing the bracha and not knowing what the bracha is versus hearing the not hearing the bracha but knowing what the bracha is. Maybe there's that distinction as well.
Somebody else
sang
bracha when something
and
you heard the last part, you can say
yeah, sure. That's for sure true. Okay, we are continuing. Let's go back now. Let's start the Gemara. We're on Nun Alpha Amud Beis. We are now moving on to the next part. The Mishnah described something known as a Tikkun Gadol. If you look back at the Mishnah, you will see the Mishnah can be found on the very bottom of yesterday's daf, on the Amud Aleph. Mishla Rasimchas Beis Hashoev Rasimcha Miyamav. The Motzi Yom Tov Rishon Shel Chag Yardu Lezros Anashim Umetaktin Sham Tikkun Gadol. They went down to Ezros Anashim and they made a Tikkun Gadol. So right, we discussed yesterday in March, which was basically started up here, right by the Nakanor Gate, and they're going down to Ezros Anashim. They're going down the steps, and the Mishnah describes Tikkun Gadol. There was a great rectification. Some addition was done to the Ezros Anashim. And that's it. That's all the Mishnah says. The Mishnah does not specify. The Mishnah gives us no detail. What are we talking about? The Gemara fills in the blank. My Tikkun Gadol. The Gemara asks the question point blank. What are we talking about? What's the Mishnah saying? I'm Rabbi Lazar Ba'osa Shoshaninu. So Rabbi Lazar says, I'll use other Braisos and Mishnayos that will help us understand. Chalak Aisa B'Rishona. It was originally flat. Meaning, the Ezros Anashim. Walk into the Ezros Anashim, so what is it? It's just flat ground. V'kifu gezustra. And then what happened is that they built a balcony. So if you want to look at the picture, so now you'll understand that we're talking over here about a balcony. It's a schematic, so it's hard to envision. But basically, you had balconies coming off on these sides. Right, on the north side, on the south side. So large balconies. V'kinushi unashim yoshot melamala v'anashim melamata. And so therefore, when in the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, so they had the men on the ground floor of the Ezros Anashim, you had women up in the balcony, and that's Tikkun Gadol, and that's a reference to the great rectification. The Gemara quotes a Braisa. Tana Rabban, the Gemara quotes a Braisa, B'Rishona Hayu Anashim Mibifnim V'Anashim Mibichutz. So they tried out different things, right? There was trial and error. So they tried out different things in terms of how to separate the men and the women for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Originally, women were in the inside and men were on the outside. Now it's an interesting Rashi. I'll share the Rashi with you. And Rashi says, what does inside and outside mean? Right? Obviously everything's relative. So what does that mean? So mibifnim, Rashi says be'ezros nashim. Inside means they were in Ezros Anashim, and outside means outside of Ezros Anashim. So originally the way it worked is that women were in here in Ezros Anashim. I remember I mentioned this already a number of times, but let's just reiterate. This is the Azara. That's the temple courtyard. That has a different status. Temple courtyard, so basically non-Kohanim weren't even allowed to go in there. Okay? And even Kohanim, right, those who are blemished also had restrictions in terms of going in there. So this is the Azara. The area around the Azara is called Harabais. It's called the area of the Temple Mount. Okay? Ezros Anashim, even though it's circumscribed by walls, and even though it is contiguous to the Azara, but the Ezros Anashim was basically Harabais, meaning it didn't have the status of the Azara, it basically had the status of Harabais, but it did have a physical wall around it, this area of the Ezros Anashim. So the way Rashi's describing the original effort to separate the men and women, so they had the women on the inside, and then they had the men on the outside, and inside-outside means inside Ezros Anashim were women, and outside were the men. Now, it's a little bit difficult to understand, I mean, this first rendition of separating men and women, because where was the action?
Right.
Right.
Men couldn't see anything.
Right, correct. Where was the action? The action was inside, meaning the Ezros Anashim is where all the activity took place. So it's just hard to picture. Meaning, if all the women are on the inside, and the march, remember we did in the mission, we described the march, the procession that started up on the top of the 15th step and went down the 15 steps and went eastbound towards this gate over here, and just what does that mean? It means they walk basically through women, in terms of the two Kohanim with the shofros? Maybe it's that simple. But okay, that's it. That's the first attempt. Vayubayim l'day kalos rosh, but however, it was no good. It led to kalos rosh. There was frivolity. And it's easy to imagine, because the men wanted to now push inside in order to see what was going on, and the women were on the outside, and so therefore it led to frivolity. So it okay, so therefore they went there now through our second attempt. Second attempt was to have the men on the inside, the women on the outside, and perhaps that was better because now the men wouldn't be pushing inside to see what was going on. Okay, maybe it was better. It wasn't. It still wasn't good. In other words, there was still frivolity. So therefore, so the conclusion was is that they made a balcony, and the women were on the top of the balcony, and the men were below the balcony, and that's the conclusion of or the 2,700 pages of the daf. This is pretty much one of the few and only references of a mechitza that's in shul. Mechitza is an interesting topic. There is no black on white Gemara that says that you have a shul, you have to have a mechitza. But the sources that are brought in terms of the requirement of a need of mechitza and shul comes out of this Gemara right here. This is a Gemara that speaks about that during the Simchas Beis HaShoeva there was separation between men and women, and it was just a question of what's the best way to configure the separation between men and women. Should have women on the inside, men on the outside, reverse, or have the women up in the balcony. The Gemara says that the women on the balcony proved to be the best solution to the problem. So certainly from the Gemara over here, it's clear that that there was some need for a separation between men and women. As we're about to see in the Gemara in just a moment, the next lines of the Gemara that's coming up makes it sound like not only is this advisable and recommended, but perhaps, as we're going to see in just a moment, it's a daraisa concept. It's a biblical concept to do so. How do we say that? So you'll see the Gemara in just a moment. If you're making an adjustment to the Beis HaMikdash, and you're not allowed to make any type of architectural designs to the Beis HaMikdash, once you have a design of the Beis HaMikdash, that is set, and you can't make any types of changes. The fact that they made some sort of addition, rendition to the Beis HaMikdash means that this is not just simply an aesthetic issue, but it's an issue, it's a concept, the idea of separating men and women. If you want to see this discussed extensively, so I think probably the most written about or the longest response to Mechitzas and the Shul is Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe Feinstein has a very long discussion about Mechitzas and Shul, and obviously this Gemara becomes like the cornerstone of the discussion. The Gemara, let's go on in the Gemara. Hechi avid hachi v'aksiv hakol b'chsav mi'ad Hashem alai hiskil. The Gemara itself is asking the question, how can you make a change to the edifice of the Beis HaMikdash? The Beis HaMikdash is architecturally designed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's divinely architected. So how can you make any changes? So Amarav kara ashkechu v'darish. They found psukim, they darshan psukim. Meaning, it's based on Tanakh. Based on Pesukim and Tanakh, that they made a change. There's need this requirement to separate the men and the women. The Navi describes we're now in Zechariah, 12th parak of Zechariah. V'saft aretz mishpachos mishpachos levad mishpachos beizav levad unesheim levad. There was a funeral. We'll describe what the funeral was in just a moment. There was a funeral, and how did they sit at the funeral? Men sat by themselves, and women sat by themselves. V'halo dvarim kal v'chomer. And the Gemara says now, let's make the following logical argument. Now, in the future, the Navi over here is forecasting some funeral in the future. Again, the details we'll go over in just a moment. But he's forecasting some funeral in the future. And where by a funeral, by eulogy, people are sad. It's not a mood of levity. It's a depressing mood. And the Yetzer Hara is in Yetzer Hara Shalai Behem. And there's not this command, this dominion of the Yetzer Hara over us. In other words, there's no frivolity going on at a funeral. And Amar Torah Anashim Levad V'Anashim Levad. And yet the Torah says that there must be segregation between the men and the women. Achshav Shasukim B'Simcha. Now that we're involved in Simcha, the Yetzer Hara Shalai Behem, and there by Simcha, so there's a strong Yetzer Hara. So how much more so we need to be concerned about frivolity and inappropriate behavior? So for sure there has to be a separation between men and women. So basically, Pesukim in Tanakh, in Zechariah, Kal v'chomer built on that Pasuk, so that's enough justification to actually change the floor plan of the Beis HaMikdash so that the men and women would be separated, and the best thing to do is a balcony. Just parenthetically, not now is not the time, and I am not the person to discuss the halachas of mechitza. But parenthetically, Rav Moshe says, you're building a shul from scratch? Rav Moshe says, build the balcony. I know yesterday I quoted the Chasam Sofer. Okay? I'm contemporary these past couple days. But yesterday I quoted the Chasam Sofer. Chasam Sofer wouldn't walk into a shul if the bima's not in the middle. Right? We saw yesterday from the shul in Alexandria. Right? Had he another shout out to the shul in Alexandria. The Gemara seems to have no problem with. Your point taken into consideration, but the Chasam Sofer said he wouldn't go into a shul if the shul doesn't have a beam in the middle. So so Rav Moshe says if I had my druthers and you asked me and you're building a shul, he says build it with a balcony. And then obviously he writes, and if the shul doesn't have a balcony, so then you need some sort of partition separating the men and the women. And obviously there's many more details. And again, not the right time and not the right person to discuss those. But that's all that comes from our Gemara over here. Okay, good. We had just quoted the pasuk in Zechariah. There was a funeral. There was eulogy. And who died? And the pasuk in Zechariah, obviously, he's a Navi. He's forecasting the future. So it's foretelling a future event where there will be a death and there will be eulogy and there's going to be a lot of mourning. Over whom? So, Hespeda mai avidate. That's the Gemara's next question. So now we're going to go off topic. But when I say we're going to go off topic, we're going to stay on this off topic for basically the rest of today's daf. And that is now we're going to move seamlessly from a halachic discussion to a more, I'd say, a gadic discussion, hashkafic discussion, meaning the Gemara now is going to leave the realm of do and don't and into the realm of thought provocation. So this eulogy that's described in the pasuk in Zechariah, what's going on over here? So, pligi bar Rav Dosef Rabbanan. So, there's a debate between the Amoraim, chad amar al Mashiach min Yosef, shenarag, v'chad amar al Yetzer hara shenarag. So, we're eulogizing either one of two personalities, either the death of Mashiach min Yosef. Okay, we have a tradition. Rashi speaks about it briefly on the. If you want to see the top Rashi. The top Rashi speaks about this tradition. Safta Arts ben Nevu Zechariah Miznavei Lasit Sheispedu Amashiach Ben Yosef Shenerag BeMelchemes Gog Magog. Okay, so we have some idea within what will happen in the end of days that there will be some sort of Gog Magog, some sort of Armageddon. Okay, obviously we're all curious to know more details. I can only provide so much. I can't even do that. So but there's some sort of Armageddon. Uksiv Mishpachos Beis Davin and Hashem Levat. And I'm sorry. And Rashi points out that part of our tradition is that there will be some Mashiach, not Mashiach ben David, but Mashiach ben Yosef, a Mashiach that descends from the tribe of Yosef, some anointed one, fighting and dying in the battle of Gog and Magog. Okay, that's a tradition that we have. The Gemara obviously is operating within that tradition. The eulogy, the funeral and the eulogy that the Zechariah is talking about is for the death of Mashiach ben Yosef. That's one viewpoint. The Gemara provides another viewpoint, which is Chanama al Yetzahara Shenarag, the death of the Yetzahara. Now, the Yetzahara is a person, right? We are treating the Yetzahara right now with personification. We're giving him kind of like a almost like a human characteristic, where he's alive, now he's dead, and we're eulogizing. So obviously now we're entering into a world of what we would call a gadita. It's more esoteric. It's a more esoteric kind of discussion coming up in the Gemara. Well, the Gemara is going to ask the question. So, Bishlam alaman darma Mashiach ben Yosef shenereg haynu dechzi vihi bito alayas asher dakaru v'saftu olav kemispeid alayachid. So the Gemara says, look, if the opinion that you're going to present is that this is a reference to the death of Mashiach ben Yosef, I totally understand. Eulogy, mourning, the Pasuk in Zechariah, same parak. The Pasuk in Zechariah says that people will see, people will eulogize, it'll be like mispeid alayachid. Eulogizing over yourself, meaning it's going to be brutally sad, and it's understandable. Meaning he's the one who fought in defense of the Jewish people during this Armageddon, and so obviously it's going to be very sad. Elaman damal yitzar shenarag hayes beta by lemeved simcha by lemeved. But if we're talking about the death of Yetzahara, so why people are going to be sad? Just the opposite. People are going to be happy. So amai bachu. So why is there crying? So the Gemara explains. So the Gemara now goes into a statement by Rav Yehuda that in the future, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the Yetzirah and slaughter the Yetzirah in front of Tzaddikim, in front of Rishayim, and oddly enough, the reaction is more or less going to be the same, but for different reasons. Tzaddikim nidmalem kar gavol. First of all, how is the Yetzirah perceived? So we're going to give some sort of understanding. This is just a framework so that we can understand. So that Tzaddikim are going to look at the Yetzirah, and basically to them the Yetzirah is going to be Har Gavoa. The Yetzirah is going to look to them like this great mountain. Okay? That they had, obviously, they had to overcome. Urishayim nidmalem kechut ha-sa'ara. And as far as Rishayim are concerned, to them it looks like chut ha-sa'ara. It's like a hair. It's like the width of a hair. And the reaction is crying by the tzaddikim, crying by the rishayim, but for two different reasons. So that tzaddikim says, can you believe that we climbed this mountain, we ascended this mountain, we overcame this mountain? They remember all the anguish that it was, that it took in order to overcome the Yetzirah. Right? It's a fight, it's a battle. It's a battle to fight the Yetzirah. And they fought it. They fought it and they won. But still, the pain and the turmoil that they went through in order to fight it, so for that they were crying. And as far as the Rishayim were concerned, it's a tripwire. It's nothing, and that we couldn't overcome. And the feeling of failure to overcome what wasn't a great obstacle, that's what caused them to cry. To the best of our understanding, the Gemara says HaKadosh Baruch Hu also is going to have some sort of puzzling, inquisitive reaction. Meaning, even to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the whole thing is going to be wondrous, curious. Meaning, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not going to fully comprehend. Again, it's impossible to understand. A lot of these Gemaras that we're going to go over this morning are going to be very difficult to understand. I'm going to provide some basis of understanding, but and I'm not saying this out of humility, meaning I mean it. The only so much I can do in terms of communicating this Gemara. Yeah, and immediately after I said that, you asked me a question. Go ahead.
Couldn't you say that tzaddikim are crying because of the Yetzirah that they reach?
You could say that. I mean, I'm basically on Rashi. You, for sure, you're entitled to say that. But Rashi, if you look at Rashi, Rashi says that the tzaddikim are crying. I'll read the Rashi. Shinizkarim b'tzarim shayalam lechbosh harasha azeh bechayehem. They're remembering all the pain that they had as they were overcoming this Yetzirah. So certainly, you could say a different shot. But you know, as usual, I work within Rashi. Amar Rav Asi. We're in the middle of Nunbeis Amud Aleph, and now, as long as the Gemara opened the door to discuss the Yetzirah, so now the Gemara is going to discuss the Yetzirah at length. Again, the Yetzirah is a concept. It's it's on one hand, it's easy to understand, right? In other words, when you're full and you shouldn't be eating more and you eat more, so we all understand temptation and the Yetzirah, but at the same time, however, the Gemara is going to speak about it in ways which are going to be esoteric, right. And it says some of these Gemaras, as I mentioned, they're just difficult to understand, and we will make an attempt. Amar Avas Yetzirah b'tchila dama l'chut shel buchya. Olavisof dama kavosas ha'gala. Yetzirah originally looks like a chut shel buchya, it's a thin spider's thread. And then, dama kavosas ha'gala looks like the cords of a wagon. In other words, the Yetzahara grows. Starts small, and then it grows. Shenemar hoy moshchei avim bechevle hashav. The Navi Yeshayahu is reprimanding, is chastising the Jewish people. People, chevle hashav, these are ropes that are nothing. Uka'avos ha'agala chata. And then they're like the cords of a wagon. Okay, so in other words, the Navi first describes the Yetzahara as being the thin thread. It's really, it's nothing. And then it turns into these cords of wagons. Tanu Rabbanu Mashiach ben David, Shalsi li galot b'meher b'yameinu omer lo karsh baruch hu, Shalmi meni davar. The Gemara goes back to discuss the Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben David was offered a request, was provided a request from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shalmi meni davar, go ask something from me. V'etein lecha, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, and I'll give it to you. Shenema asapra el chok, ani hayom yalaticha, Shalmi meni v'etena, goyim nachlasecha. V'kevin shara Mashiach ben Yosef shenerag, so when Yosef ben David sees the death of Yosef, when Mashiach ben David sees the death of Mashiach ben Yosef, that he's killed, Omer lefanu Ribono Shalom, eini mevakish mimcha, elachayim. So he says, my request is very simple. Meaning, Mashiach ben Yosef died, I want chayim. Omer lo chayim ashalo amarta kvar hisnavei alecha. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, yeah, it's a reasonable request, but it was already granted. So, hisnavei alecha David avicha. Your father, in this case, we'll understand it as patriarch. Your patriarch, David HaMelech, so he already forecasted that you're going to receive life. Shenemer chayim shal mimcha nasat olam. Pasuk in Tehillim. Darash Rav Avir, Vitem Rav Yishua ben Levi, Shiva Shemos Yeshua Yitzhara. Back to the Yitzhara. The Gemara here describes that the Yitzhara goes by seven names. Okay, so in other words, he travels around and he's got seven different passports, and I guess it makes access easier in different parts of the world. Again, I'm not saying that's pshat, I'm just simply saying that he goes by different names, different representations, different identities. So he's Shemos Yeshua Yitzhara, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kara Ra. So first of all, the name given to him by God. HaKadosh Baruch Hu calls the Yitzhara Ra. Okay, so evil. Shenemer ki Yitzhara Lev Adam Ra Minu Urav. Okay, it's Pasuk in Parshas Noach, describing the Yitzhara, it's Ra Minu Urav. It's bad. It's evil. Moshe Kara Arel. Moshe, when describing the Yitzhara, calls him the uncircumcised one. Shenemer Malatem Asarlas Livavchem. Okay. Kadosh Baruch Hu will give you a milah, but not a physical milah. A milah of your lave. Okay? Can't possibly understood anatomically, biologically. It means that that's a reference to the Yitzhara. David Karu Tameh. David refers to him as being a Tameh. Shenemer Lev Tahor Barali Elokim. Kadosh Baruch Hu, we beg a Kadosh Baruch Hu to give us Lev Tahor, a pure heart. So mechlal de'ika tamei. So that means that if there's a pure heart, that means it's an impure heart. So that's a reference to tamei. The Yitzhara is referred to as tamei. Shlomo karu sonei. Shlomo refers to the Yitzhara as the enemy. Shenemer imra ev sonecha ha'chiluhu lechem. If your enemy is hungry, so what do? You feed him bread. V'im tamei, and if your enemy is thirsty, ashkeo mayim. Give him water. Ki gachalim atachote arosho. V'ashem yishan lehem lach. Kadosh Baruch Hu will repay you. Al tikra yishalem lach, ela yashlimu lach. Yashlimu, now the Gemara has an alternative way to understand the pasuk. Kadosh Baruch Hu will make peace with the Yitzhara if you feed him lechem. Yishayah korah michshol. Yishayah refers to the Yitzhara as a michshol, as a stumbling block. Shenemer solo solo panu derech harimu michshol miderech ami. Remove the stumbling block from my nation. Stumbling block over here is a reference to the Yitzhara. Yecheskel karu evan. Yecheskel refers to the Yitzhara as a stone. Shenemer v'yisarti slev ha'evan mi b'sarchem nasati lechem lev basar. You have a heart of stone. The heart of stone will be replaced with a heart of flesh. Cardiac muscle. Yoel karet sifoni. The Navi Yoel refers to the Yitzhara as the hidden one. Shenemer, the only four prakim of Yoel. Takes me back to my days in YU. So the esatz phoni archik me alechem. So I will remove the hidden ones from you. Tanur Rabbanu esatz phoni archik me alechem zei yitzhara shetzafun veomed bilibo shel adam. It's hidden within the hearts of man. Vidachtiv el eretz tziav v'shamema lamakom shem bnei adam mitzuyim lizgaros b'hem. And eventually, it's going to get exiled to a land where there's no water, there's no people. And the Yitzhar will simply have nobody to incite. So the Lizgaros by him. Espanav el hayama kadmoni shenason. What happened? Did I skip? No, I did. I did good. Lizgaros, thank you. Espanav el hayama kadmoni shenason enav b'miktash rishon v'echrivo. V'arak tamid chachamim shebo. He turned to the first base of Mikdash. He destroyed the first base of Mikdash. V'sofo el hayam ha'acharon. He turned to the second base of Mikdash. He destroyed the second base of Mikdash. and he has a foul odor, this Yetzer Hara. Because, generally speaking, he leaves the Umos HaOlam, he leaves the other nations of the world, and really spends and dedicates most of his time and attention to the Jewish people. And Abaye says, and not only does he focus on the Jewish people, but more specifically, on the Talmid HaChachamim, that's where the Yetzer Hara is strongest. And Abai is going to support this thesis that the Yetzer Hara is not just limited to the Jewish people, but the Talmid HaChachamim amongst the Jewish people. Abai says, let me tell you a story that proves my point. So I saw a man and a woman conversing, not the Vnei Zaborcha, and they said, let's go take a walk. Amar Ezah Freshinam Isura. So Abaye says, I will be the Mashkiach Ruchani. I will be the spiritual advisor. I will go and I will walk with them. And if in the event that they're going to sin, okay, whatever the prohibition was in discussion, he says, but if they're going to involve in any type of illicit behavior, immoral behavior, I'm going to stop them from sinning. Okay, so Azal Basrayu. So he comes now and he walks behind them. They know, they don't know that he's there. From the story, it seems like they don't know he's there. So the Azal Basrayu, Tulsa Parsa, they're walking now for three parsa, each parsa is 4 mil. So they're walking a total of 12 mil. Okay, nice walk. So Parsi Ba'agma, they were walking through some sort of swamp. Kiava Parsi Mehadade. So now they get to the end of their walk, and now what do? They separate. They go in their separate ways. Shamina de Kamre. And he overhears the conversation. Urchin Rechika, our journey is long, meaning we got to go now two separate directions. Vitsafsam Besima, the company was pleasant. I enjoyed the time that we spent together, but now we have to separate on our ways. And Amar Abaye, what was his reaction? He wasn't happy and proud that they didn't engage in any type of immoral behavior, but Abaye, he was upset. Why? Because, and this is unbelievable Gemara about to come up, he says, imagine if that were me. He says, Amar Abaye, Iman desani lehava, had it been, it's a euphemistic way of speaking, had it been the one who hates me, meaning, it's euphemism, it means, had it been me, lo havamatzi luk meinafshei, I would have sinned, says Abaye. Right? It's an admission. It's an honest admission. It's a brutally honest admission. I couldn't have done that. Be alone with a woman and not engage in sin? That's crazy.
Why wasn't he upset himself for not giving them the benefit of doubt?
Correct. Look, he's just looking at the scene as, what if that would have been me? And if that would have been me, I would have sinned. Azal tal nafshi b'ibur didasha. It's dire. And he goes into a depression. Interestingly enough, I don't have a good shot, but every single time in Shas that we have somebody going into a depression, maybe a strong term, but in other words, he's sad, he's contemplative, so he goes to the Ibur Dadasha, right, the bolt of the door. There has to be significance. I don't have a good shot, but I'm telling you, it's right. Basically, he hangs out by the door. And also Usaba, and along comes an elderly individual. The Gemara does not identify who it is. Rashi doesn't comment over here, but sometimes, right, he's identified as Eliyahu Anavi. But however this plays out, so also Usaba Tanalei, and he teaches Abaye an important lesson. And it's really a lesson that will help us understand so much of the Gemara that we've seen previously, but now we're going to get a little bit enlightened. Called Hagado Mechavero, Yitzro Gadol Heimenu. The greater you become, the greater your Yetzer Hara becomes as well. Your Yetzer Hara remains on par with you. So you become a greater individual, you become more spiritual, more holy, more dedicated, more everything. Your Yetzer Hara doesn't skip a beat. Your Yetzer Hara also grows as well. So the Yetzer Hara really is just nothing more than a reflection of what you are. So basically, the guy who was walking with the girl, so he wasn't a great individual. So he didn't have a great Yetzer Hara. So for him, separating from that woman wasn't a big deal. You, Abaye, says the Saba, says this elderly individual, you, Abaye, you're a great man, you're a great individual, you have a commensurate Yetzer Hara. And so therefore, that's why you're looking at yourself in that situation. I wouldn't have not have sinned? Yes, correct. That's correct, because you're a great man. And then, by the way, now you look back at some of the Gemaras that we saw earlier, right? The Yetzer starts as a spider's web and then it ends up like the cord of a wagon. What does it mean? It grows. Meaning, as you grow, the Yetzer grows as well. Amar Rav Yitzchak, Yitzchak Shal Adam Miskaber Elav B'chol Yom. The Yetzer grows every day. Shenemar Rak, I'm sorry, Rak Kol Hayom. The focus over here is Kol Hayom. Right, Rashi says there's a Tosefes Yetzer Hara, there's an additional Yetzer Hara. Amar Rav Shimon Malevi, Yitzchak Shal Adam Miskaber Elav B'chol Yom and Vakesh Lamiso. The Yetzer Hara grows every day and it looks to literally kill you. Shenemar Tzofer Rashal Tzadikum and Vakesh Lamiso. The pasuk says it looks to kill you. The Umalei. And had it not been for HaKadosh Baruch Hu shows their low, Einu Yacholo. You need divine assistance. So to beat the Yetzer Hara, to do it on your own, it doesn't work. You need divine assistance. Shenemar, Hashem lo yezvenu b'yadov lo yashinu b'yishavto. And, I mean, the Gemara doesn't say it, but based on this Gemara, I mean, we could say it without going off on a limb. So you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you petition HaKadosh Baruch Hu for more help and more assistance in terms of beating the Yetzer Hara. You daven for assistance from the Yetzer Hara. Tana de Beir Rav Yishmael in Pagabach Menuvel Zem Ashchila Beis HaMedrash. Let's say this Menuvel, this disgusting individual, again, in the context of the Gemara, it's referring to the Yetzer Hara. Rashi says it straight out. Yeah, this Menuvel comes and he grabs a hold of you. So what do? You drag him to the Beis HaMedrash. It's interesting. The Gemara does not say you run away from him to the Beis HaMedrash. The Gemara says you drag him to the Beis HaMedrash, meaning you're linked. You're inextricably linked to the Yetzer Hara. You can't get away from the Yetzer Hara, but the methodology in terms of what you do is you bring him with you to the Beis HaMedrash. Im Evan Hu Nimoach, if he's a stone, he will melt. In Barzel, if he's iron, he will shatter. In Mevenu Nimoch, the Gemara quotes Psukim that indicate. Right, go to the water. If you're thirsty, go to the water. Meaning, you go to the Beis HaMedrash, you learn Torah, and that is the counteraction to the Yetzer Hara. The water basically reduces, I'm sorry, the stone reduces to water. In Barzel, and if it's iron, it'll just explode. Dechsiv Haloko Devari Ke'eshna Mashem. My words are like fire. Again, the going to the Beis Medrash means you're going to be learning Torah in the Beis Medrash. Torah is going to be the antidote. Uche patish yifotzei sela. Like the hammer hitting the stone, the hammer is going to break. Am Rav Shmuel bar Nachman, Am Rav Yochanan Yetzer Hara misisa la'adam ba'olam hazeh, umeida lav la'olam haba. The Yetzer Hara is really a double agent. In this world, what he does is he entices you. He says, go ahead, enjoy. Commit sin, etc., etc. But then when you get to the next world, so then he's going to testify against you. So, in his youth, he'll be mefanek. Mefanek means delicate, another enjoyment. He'll tell you to sin. And then in the end, he'll be a manon. Now, I don't know what the word manon is. Okay, and I'm ready to admit it. Shekein ba'atbach shel Rabbi Chia koren l'sahada manon. But if you use a formula of decoding known as atbach, then the word manon becomes the word sahada, and sahada is a witness, it's to testify. Now, what does this mean, atbach, decoding? So this is a form of gematria. We think normally about gematria, we think in terms of numeric value. Each letter has a numerical value, and so therefore, based on certain numerical values, so we attach significance to words based on its numerical value. I heard a Gaon, a Vilna Gaon. It's fantastic. Do I have a second? Yeah. At this point in time, you think you hear all the Gaons, you know the Gaons. So I heard this one. It's fantastic. The Gaon says the. Right, getting us ready for Pesach. Vayemaruch chayehem, right? Bavoda kasha. The pasuk says that they embittered our lives, and obviously this is one of the psukim that describe the maror. And we eat the maror on Pesach, and when we eat the maror on Pesach, marzum shema, and we quote the pasuk vayemaruch chayehem, right? He embittered our lives. So the Gaon says, okay, I understand remembering the avdus, but why maror? What's so important about maror? And it becomes one of the staples, the three staples of the seder, and you have to have maror. And why maror? So the Gaon says the maror is an avdus accelerator. meaning that we were supposed to be slaves for 400 years, but what the Marer did, not the Marer, but the embittered slavery does, it basically accelerated. So that the 400 now becomes not 400, but 210. We were only slaves for 210 years. How do you do that? I mean, if God promises 400 years, how does it go from 400 down to 210? Marer. Because it wasn't just 210, but it was 210 hard years. They were bitter years. And so what the Marer does is it accelerates. The Gaon says, oh, you're really going to like this. The Gaon says that if you look at the trup around the words Vaymaru, it's Chayehem. So what's the trup? What's the how do you read the Torah? So Kadma Ve'Azla. What do the words Kadma Ve'Azla mean? It means get up and go. Meaning Vayimaru is Chayem, because our lives in Egypt were so bitter, so it caused us to get up and go. And then the Gaon doesn't stop there, the Gaon keeps going. And the Gaon says, and take the letters Kadma Ve'Azla, right? Go through each one of the letters. Count it up based on the Gematria, and Kadma Ve'Azla comes up numerically to what number? 190. In other words, because of Vayimaru is Chayehem, so therefore 190 years were able to be deducted from the 400. Yeah, you like that, huh? I just heard it. It was amazing. I should know this going. Okay. So okay, now you have something to say. So the Kadma Ve'Azla, so the 190 years were deducted. Okay, so that's Gematria.
Have to quote you?
No. Quote it's a going. It's a going. Don't quote me. So that's normally how we view Gematria. So there's also another method of Gematria, and that is substituting letters for letters. Rabbi Chiya had a system, which I assume he had a Masorah for it. Rabbi Chiya had a system where he took the Aleph and replaced it with a Tess. And he did that for every unit of tens in the Aleph base. So the Aleph becomes a Tess, the base becomes a Ches. Now you realize in the system, so the Hey is going to be without a partner.
No.
Right? Correct. And then he do this, and then now when you go, that's in the 10. And then when you do the 100, the same thing. And then when you get to the next round, you do the same thing. And so therefore, fine. Anyway, so, and Rashi goes through the whole system over here. So if you take the letters Mem, Nun, Vav, Nun, and you apply the system of Atbach, Rabbi Chiya, so you get to Sahada. Okay, and again, all this brought us to one point, which is that originally he kind of like, he lures you. He tells you to send the Yetzer Hara, and then that's in this world, that's the Olam Hazeh, and then you move to the Olam Haba, and then he testifies against you. Let's just do just one more point, and we'll stop. Rav Huna Rami Ksiv Ki Ruach Zinunim Ita, right? Ruach Zinunim Ita. He misleads you. Well, it sounds like he's on the outside. Uksiv Bikirbam. And then it sounds like he's on the inside. Where's the Yetzer Hara? Is he external or is he internal? Bitchila Hitam Levesof Bikirbam. Gemara says, okay, it's a progression. He's originally on the outside, but then he becomes part and parcel of you. Amar Rav B'Tchila Karu Halach L'Vesof Karu Orech L'Vesof Karu Ish. And again, this idea of progression. He is just a wanderer, turning into a guest, turning into you. He becomes you. Shenem Rav Yavo Halach L'Ish Ha'ishir V'yachmo L'Kachis Mitzano Mi'Bekaro L'Asos L'Orech Uksi V'yikachis Kivshat Ha'ish Harash V'yaseh L'Ish Haba Elav. This is the mashal that was given by the Navi to David HaMelech. After David HaMelech sins with Bathsheba, to make the point of, you know what you did was really wrong, so the Navi gives a mashal about a wealthy guy who steals the one sheep of the poor guy. But if you look carefully at the psukim, you'll see that, what does he need the sheep for? He serves it to a wanderer who then in turn turns into a guest, who then in turn turns into the man. And the Gemara's understanding is, that's all a reference to the Yetzer Hara, who originally is that wandering outside, then he's a guest, and now he's part of you, he's part of the man. Stop over here, tomorrow we'll pick it up from this very point.